Let's go in our Bibles to John 3:16 this morning. John 3:16. I know you know it, but let's look at it this morning. John 3:16. I want to preach on just simple salvation. Just simple salvation out of John 3:16. And let's look at this morning. We'll look at more verses later, but let's begin with this verse. This will be our focus verse this morning. I'll let you remain seated. Let's read this one right here, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No doubt the most familiar verse worldwide, and I'm glad that it is. And it is, I think, the Bible in a nutshell. It is the Bible summarized in one verse. The Old Testament is all about God sending his Son. The New Testament is all about what his Son did when he came. And that's right here in this verse. Amen. What a wonderful verse. The Bible summarized right there. Let's pray. Father God, direct us today as we talk about simple salvation. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given it to us and you've made it simple. And I pray you'd guide and direct us through this today. Speak to our hearts. Draw us closer to you. Strengthen our faith. Save souls. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible summarized right there. Now this is in a conversation that God had, or Jesus had, with Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and we'll see that in a little bit. But I think this right here sums up the reason and the result for God sending his Son. The reason is that God loves the world. There's not a person God doesn't love. Amen? And the result is salvation for eternity in a home in heaven. That's God's plan for all people right there. Amen? People say, I don't have a purpose in life. Yes, you do. Get saved and go to heaven. That's your purpose in life. Amen? Glorify your Savior while you're on your way to heaven. That's what God wants us to do. So eternal salvation. The Bible tells us that from start to finish. From Genesis to Revelation. The Bible tells us what we just read right here in this one verse. The Old Testament focusing on the sending of his Son, the coming Messiah, the promised one, is what the Old Testament was about. The raising up of the nation of Israel to send his Son into the world. And then the New Testament is all about what Jesus did and all about salvation and how we can come to know the Lord. Now, I know you read through the Old Testament and you get bogged down in all the details, but that's really what it's all about. Was that God created a world, revealed himself to this world. God created a whole world. It's just mind-boggling, this world and the galaxies and all of that. And he created earth, and on that earth he put people, and then he sent his Son to save the souls of those people. You say, why didn't he just make us all robots that would love him and obey him and do all the things he wanted us to do? Because God wants you to love him by your own choice. So God gave us a free will. God gave us the ability to choose. God doesn't force us to love him. How would you like to be in a relationship, a married relationship, where you were forced to love and cooperate, and it wasn't by your own free will or your own choice? The church is the bride of Christ, amen? And he wants a loving relationship with all of us. So that's the message right down throughout the entire Bible. God loves us and wants to save us. Y'all with me today? Is that a good message? That's the good news of the gospel, amen? Well, let's back up and look at this morning. If you'll go back to verse 1, let's just look at this quickly and lead back up to where we are. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, let's just talk about it. This man, who was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, part of the Sanhedrin, he was a part of the religious elite. He was the one of the ones who taught the Old Testament law to the Jewish people. Okay, so he's got status. He's important. He's super religious in the Old Testament system, right? Verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, that is master or teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, as a Pharisee, now you know, as you read the New Testament, the Pharisees were not kind to Jesus. This man right here seems to be very cordial, very respectful, very kind to the Lord Jesus Christ right here. Amen? And he was. But the reason he comes to Jesus by night is because he doesn't want his cohorts to know that he's favorable of Jesus, that he believes in him, that he is willing to accept him as the promised Messiah. Because you know the story, he came into his own and his own received him not. So he comes by night to have a very sincere conversation with Jesus. And what he said right there, the rest of them should have figured that out. Amen? You wouldn't be doing all these miracles and teaching all these astounding things if you weren't sent from God. He got it right. Amen? And he wanted to have a conversation with the Lord. Now, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. And where did that come from? What did you just say? What do you mean? That doesn't sound like the answer I expected. Jesus said, Verily, verily, that is truly, truly. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know what the Lord did, folks? He got right to the heart of the gospel. He knew, it's like, I know why you're here. You want to know the truth? Here's the truth. Except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, you are religious as they come, but unless you get born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. Well, Jesus didn't waste no time with him, did he? He went right to it. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's thinking literally. He didn't get the point. Verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. So there's the natural birth and the spiritual birth. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's the second birth, right? Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's the natural birth. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's salvation. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So that's three times he's told him this. Verse 8, how's it happen? Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You don't see the wind. You've never seen the wind. You've seen the effects of the wind, and you've experienced the effects of the wind. You haven't seen the Holy Spirit, but if you're saved today, you've experienced the presence and the power and the conviction and perhaps the conversion and the saving power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen? So he compares the Holy Spirit there that is needed for salvation. In other words, folks, you can be religious like Nicodemus, but until the Holy Spirit comes and does a work in your heart and life to convict you and convince you and convert you, you're not saved. You must be born again, right? So Jesus got right to the point with this religious man here who wasn't really comprehending what he was saying. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? He still don't get it. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knoweth not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now he's talking about himself here. He's from heaven. Verse 14, and he gives him a very old, familiar Old Testament story that Nicodemus had taught many times. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm going to stop right there. Love to keep going, keep reading. But what a wonderful conversation this man had with Jesus that night. And he became a believer. Now, he didn't let anybody know about it for a long time. It wasn't until Jesus was crucified and ready to be buried that he let it be known that he was a believer. Him and a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea were secret disciples during the lifetime of the Lord. But at that point, they said, I don't care who knows, I'm a believer in that man right there. He just died for me. He died to save my soul. And he let everybody know at that point. But he was undercover for a while. And in his position, I guess he felt like if he wanted to survive, because he knew they wanted to kill Jesus. But after they killed Jesus, he became a devoted disciple. Amen. He decided if he thinks it's worth dying for, I do too. Simple salvation. Now, Jesus did not get complicated with him. He wants to talk to the Lord, and the Lord just says, uses earthly analogy. You've been born? Yeah, I've been born. You need to be born again. How in the world can I do that? But the Lord was talking spiritual talk. And you know today, folks, you must be born again. If you're saved today, you've had the second birth. The second birth is what gets you into heaven. If all you have is the first birth, then hell would be your home forever, because we're born on our way to hell, and we need to be saved off of that, off that road. Amen? And that's by getting trusting Christ. Let's look at the verse, though. Let's go back to verse 16. Let's talk about just a few points today. Number one, I want to say this. Salvation begins with God's love. Salvation begins with God's love. For God so loved the world. There's the whole reason right there why Jesus had to come die on the cross for you and me. God loves every person. Amen? It's not, and it's just God. He didn't say, one God sent His Son. No, God Almighty. He's talking about God. He's talking about His Father up in heaven. Did you know the one and true and living God is the God of the Bible that created the whole world and sent His Son to die on a cross to save us and take us to His heaven? Amen. He wasn't talking about many religions. He wasn't talking about many gods. He wasn't talking about any other alternatives whatsoever. He was talking about that one way to heaven. The only religion that provides a Savior is Christianity. All others are Satan's counterfeits, and they're counterproductive, because rather than saving souls, they end up condemning souls. Y'all with me this morning? Don't get caught up in some error, some doctrinal error. Don't get caught up in some counterfeit religion. Don't get caught up in all roads lead to heaven and all gods lead to heaven, because that's not true. The devil is lying. The devil has his counterfeits, and they're counterproductive, because they condemn souls to hell rather than saving souls for heaven. So God's love is the message. God's love, God, that mean, oh, God won't send people to hell. No, He did everything He could to keep us out of it. Amen? Right? So that's what we're talking about today. That's the salvation. Saved from what? Saved from an eternity in hell. And I'll get to that later. But God has always been love. God always will be love. And it's the reason He created the world. And it's the reason He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. Years ago, a man went to one of D.L. Moody's meetings at the Moody Church in Chicago, and at the end of the service, he went up with a lot of other folks. He let it be known that he had trusted Christ and he had gotten saved. D.L. Moody got to talk with the man later, and he asked the man, he said, was it the music that got your attention? He said, oh, no, y'all's music is wonderful, but that wasn't it. He said, was it the message that I preached that got your attention to get you saved? He said, message was good, but no, that wasn't it. He said, what was it that brought you to Christ? He said, y'all got a sign out in front of your church, and it just simply says, God loves you. He said, that's what got my attention. That's what brought me in. And that's what helped me to realize God cares about even me. You know, folks, that's a message a lot of folks have yet to believe. That's a message a lot of folks have yet to come to understand. That there is a God in heaven, and He's a very personal God. He's not an out there for somewhere. He is a person. He is a personal God. He made man in His own image, and He loves every person He created. You're loved of God today. Amen. Get a hold of that. And I think when that man went by that day and saw that sign out front that just simply said, God loves you, I think God just convicted his heart. I think it just hit him like a dagger right there. It just got his attention. And it was a thought that he had never understood or entertained or comprehended before. That there's a God in heaven, and that God loves even me. I hope you know today God loves you. Amen. That's the best message there is right there. God made us. Have you ever thought about this? I said God created the world to make himself known. God created earth. That's the focus of the Bible, right? He put people on the earth. Yeah, have you ever wondered about, you know, we hear about, there's a lot of UFOs flying around these days, right? Aliens are out there. You know, they're sending drones and all this stuff. You know, I think this, folks. I believe God's focal point out of all of his creation is the earth, and that his focal point on the earth is the people. Well, now, did he have another planet with other people that look a different way, and maybe they got a Bible too, and maybe Jesus went down there and did the same thing for them? I think not. Can you prove that? No, because he's a great big God, amen? But no, that is his focal point, is the people of the earth. Y'all with me today, amen? And there's only 6,000 years of human history. You say, well, now, they said the other day that bone was 70 million years old. I got a Bible that says there's only 6,000 years of human history. Are y'all Bible-believing Christians today? Amen. Y'all with me today? Y'all with me? Anyway, that's a side note right there, all right? All of that. But anyway, no, God loves the people that he created and put on the earth. And he sent his son down here to the earth to die for us. Why? Because he loves us. Number two is this today. Number two, salvation is paid for by Jesus. Paid for. Did you know salvation has to be paid for? The Bible says here that he gave his only begotten son. You know, somebody will try to convince you the person's really good. And while they're trying to convince you that person, boy, that's a good fellow, he'll give you the shirt off of his back, they'll say. That's how good he is, and he's always thinking about other people, and he'll give you what you need. He'll even give you the shirt off his own back. That's a good guy. I want to tell you something. God Almighty in heaven gave his son for sinful men. There's no more goodness than that right there. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right? God commendeth his love. He proved his love. He showed his love. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid for it. He paid for the salvation that you sit in church and enjoy today. He made the way. And the fact of the matter is, sin must be paid for. Adam, I'll preach on Adam tonight, by the way, and Adam hiding behind the trees. I've been doing on Sunday nights talking about people, Christians in the wrong place. Well, Adam, he got in the wrong place, and he got all of us in the wrong place, and he brought on the need for what we're talking about right here. Amen? But God wasn't surprised. God already knew. God didn't make robots. God gave free will. God knew sin would come into the world. But God knew before the foundations of the world that he would send his only begotten son to pay for our sin. He knows that sin, he's a just God. He's all about justice. He's love, but he's all about justice. Sin must be paid for. You say, well, I like to pay my own way for things. Well, let me tell you, the only way you're going to pay for your sin is an eternity in hell, and we don't want that. Amen? Jesus died on the cross, and I'd rather have the cross that Jesus paid for my sins upon rather than to have hell forevermore. Y'all with me today? Y'all out there today? Y'all good? Y'all happy about being saved? You sang about it today. Amen? Hey, he made the payment on the cross. The wages of sin is death. He told that Adam, when you take of that forbidden fruit, you're going to die. The wages, the payment, the penalty of sin is death. But thanks be to God. Amen. For Jesus Christ, right? Thank the Lord for sending his son. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. What does that mean? It means paid in full. I want to pay my own way. No, I'm going to let him pay my way on this one. Amen. And all I got to do is trust him as my Savior today. Amen. God demanded a substitution. God demanded holy living and a holy life. And we couldn't be saved any other way. Jesus did it for us. He became our substitute and he died in our place. It all begins with God's love, the reason you're saved today. It's paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got your ticket to heaven today, amen? Jesus paid for it. Number three is this, salvation is obtained by faith. Because it goes on to say that whosoever believeth in him is obtained by faith. You know it's paid for, but it's not yours till you receive it. It's taken care of. It's finished. It's paid in full. But it's not yours until you receive it. We must receive the payment. We don't want to insist on paying our own way because we know that is hell. The Bible tells us and tells us a couple of times right here, whosoever, anybody. It's available to all people. It's available to anyone who will respond. Can you imagine Nicodemus understanding this? You mean I've been keeping the Old Testament law and I've been teaching religion and you're going to die and pay for my sins and I don't have to do all this stuff? Boy, that had to have been a refreshing blessing to him that day. That Old Testament system that he was so wound up in, he was learning Jesus would be the final sacrifice. Jesus would be the Lamb of God. Jesus would make that final sacrifice, and all he would have to do is put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by simple faith. That's why I call it simple salvation. He just had to receive him. Now look, he looked at him. He saw him. He saw the miracles. For you and I, it's even more so by faith today because we hadn't seen him, right? We hadn't seen the wind. We see the effects of the wind. We know there's a God. Amen? So it's not about religion. It's not about good deeds. It's not about church attendance. It's not about your wealth or your status or any of that. It's about God providing a Savior because He loves souls. And then it's about us trusting Him to be our Savior by simple faith. Now, look, I say simple faith. Now, I like what I'm glad that Jesus included the lesson about the Holy Spirit. Because I want to tell you, you could come down here today and you could walk down here and you could be popping your bubble gum and you could come down here and say, hey, I want to go to heaven. Give me Jesus. You know, I think the way it really happens, though, is the Holy Spirit convicts your heart till you realize you're a hell-bent, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner and the only way you're going to escape hell is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. I think it's a serious matter. I think it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a decision we make. Intellectually, it is by the volition of the will, but it's after the working of the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm afraid a lot of people might be claiming to be saved who have never had an experience with the Spirit of God who saves souls. Y'all with me on that? A lot of people are religious but lost and on their way to hell because they have not had that encounter, that life-changing encounter with the Lord. But it is available to all who will believe. That is all who that will completely trust Christ for who He says He is, and the work that He did on the cross. You know, we preached on the rich young ruler the other night, and Wednesday night we're talking about him, but that was a man who refused because he wanted to cling to his riches. He went away sorrowful because he would not get saved. On the cross, there was a thief who rejected and mocked the Lord Jesus Christ. And that day, he died and went to hell forevermore. There was another thief on that cross who received Jesus and believed on Him. And that day, he went to paradise. He's in heaven today. Why? Because somebody made a decision to trust Christ and somebody made a decision not to do so. Hey, it's paid for, but it has to be obtained, it has to be received, and that's only done by faith whenever we trust in the Lord. It's a choice of faith that we all have to make. Okay? And aren't you glad you heard the gospel and made the choice if you're saved today? And let me say this, number four is this, salvation is forever with Christ. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. The word perish is not just simply die. That word perish is an eternal situation. It is an eternal state of death, and we know that it's that second death, and it's there in hell forevermore. But He said you won't perish. You'll have everlasting life. Can you imagine living forever? I don't want to live forever on this earth, to be honest. I want to live forever in heaven where it's perfect. Because if I got to live forever down here where it's sinful, that means I'm going to be old and achy and hurting forever and ever and ever. I don't want to do that. And I'll be bored to death after a while. I don't know. I'm sorry. But y'all got to think about that one for a while, you know, if you're going to live on this earth. Now, I want to live in heaven where God's got eternity planned out for us. Amen? Y'all think about those things right there. But forever is a long time. Well, right now, it's a relationship with God on this earth. John 1:12 tells us we became a child of God. It's not just that God loves you as a sinner. Now you're in the family and God loves you as His child. You've been adopted into the family of God. Without salvation, we cannot understand these things. That's why Nicodemus could not get it. Paul later explained the natural man with the natural birth, just that first birth that Jesus talked here about. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So that's why Nicodemus says, scratches his head. He said, I don't understand what you're talking about. I don't understand why you keep saying I need to be born again. I don't know how to be born again. I don't think that's possible. What's he doing? He's thinking with the carnal mind. The natural man cannot receive, understand, or comprehend spiritual things until you get saved. And then when you get saved and the Spirit moves in, then you get a hunger for the Word of God. You get an understanding for the Word of God. You want to go to church and hear more of the Word of God. Amen. It's the spiritual work that takes place. But unless the Holy Spirit is there doing the work, we don't get it. That's why a lot of folks say, well, I can't understand the Bible. They don't have the author living within, right? They don't understand it. And you can explain it all you want to, but until they get it spiritually. In my Bible, there's some notes in the bottom of my Bible here. It says the necessity of the new birth grows out of the incapacity of the natural man to see or enter or understand the kingdom of God. However gifted or moral a man may be, he cannot comprehend that spiritual truth. The new birth is not a reformation. It's a creative act of the Holy Spirit, and the condition of it is faith in the crucified Christ. It's a spiritual thing, right? That's why whenever you tell people about God and Jesus and they can't comprehend it, they can't understand it, and it doesn't fit their intellect, and they'll just say, you're crazy, and I'm not going to believe that, and I'm going to go believe that the world was created by a big accident somewhere. That takes more faith to me than to believe in God that created it all and sent His Son to die for us. Amen? I'm going to take God. But you know what? Not only do I say I'm going to decide on God, I've already had an experience with Him. I've already had the wind of the Holy Spirit come to my seat in a church pew. Amen? I've already had that experience with the Holy Spirit that came, and I couldn't see Him, but I could see the results of what He was doing in the lives of other people, and I've seen the results of what He's done in my own life. Amen? You've had that experience. You haven't seen the Spirit, but you know He's there. Amen? You know that the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is forever with you. So you have Him here with you now to help you. And just like these other people in the Bible, and Noah and Abraham and Peter and James and John and Paul and all of these people, you know now how to fellowship with the Lord and how to follow the Lord and how to talk with the Lord and how to walk with the Lord and how to trust Him for your daily provision and guidance. Amen. While you're on the way, it is a relationship with the Lord here on the earth, but it's also eternity with God up in heaven. That's salvation, isn't it? That's the promise. Simple, sincere, genuine faith guarantees salvation for whosoever will. Jesus died for every person, and whosoever will humble themselves and receive Him and believe on Him and trust Him can be saved. Now, what a blessing this had to be to Nicodemus. He was miserable in religion until he met Jesus. Boy, that changed everything. Amen? And it became not just a religion that he even taught. It became a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, as he was born into the family. What an experience. Simple salvation. It's the whole Bible summed up right there in one verse. It's the soul-saving, life-changing message. It's a message that we're to give to needy souls today, by the way. Hey, look, by the way, what are you doing with the gospel? Number one, have you trusted it? Have you received it? And number two, are you giving it to somebody else? Because that's why we're here, what we're here to do. Amen? Are you giving out gospel tracts? Are you witnessing to people? Are you trying to live right? Are you trying to keep your testimony clean so that your co-workers and friends and family can get saved too? Hey, that's why we're still here. Amen? There was a soldier in battle who carried a little New Testament with him, and he had circled and underlined John 3:16. And every time one of his brothers in the military would get shot and was right there at death's door, he would get to him and he'd get beside him. He'd fervently read that verse and beg them to believe on Christ, assuring them of the promise that whosoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He was out there winning souls with the gospel. using John 3:16. I tell you, in somebody's dying moments, they don't need anything else more than they need the gospel, the good news, the saving message of heaven forever through Jesus. Friend, listen, do you have that assurance today? Do you have Christ in your heart? Have you had that experience with the Holy Spirit convicting you and convincing you and converting you and changing you and saving your soul? Or have you just had a religious exercise? People tell me all the time, yeah, you know what, I was you know, sprinkled as a baby. I was baptized in the church. Tell me about when you got saved. And they don't know what to say. Well, you know, I went to church. I grew up going to church. Are you saved? Do you remember a day when the Holy Spirit dealt with your heart and you by faith received Him as your Savior and you've been living for Him because He's been working in your life ever since? He's still talking to you and speaking to your heart and guiding and directing your life. Amen? Because it's a relationship here on earth as well as an eternity there in heaven. It's just simple salvation. This religious leader, at night, Jesus, Master, Rabbi, Teacher, you do all these miracles, you came from God, I'd like to have a conversation with you. I got a whole lot of questions I'd like to ask you. You must be born again, is all I got to say to you. What? Let's keep it simple. You must be born again. You're born into Adam. You're born into sin. You need to be born again into Christ. You say, well, that was kind of complicated. It's not really complicated. It's simple. The Lord just used those examples to help him see he needed a spiritual birth. He needed the new birth. I hope you have it. I hope you know you have it. If you don't have it, you can get it. Because it's for whosoever. And if you do have it, share it with somebody else. Amen. Would you bow with me this morning, please? Heads are bowed. I hope you'll think about this today. The simple salvation. Just thought we needed to focus on it once again from the most familiar text in the Bible. Perhaps the most profound verse that sums up the whole Bible that God gave to John as he wrote it. From a conversation that Jesus had with a religious leader. But I hope today it's your experience. It's in your heart. And you know it without a shadow of a doubt. That you've had that life-changing encounter with Him. And now you have a relationship with Him as well as an eternity in heaven. Dear Father, I pray You'd speak to our hearts. Help us with this today. Thank You for Your emphasis. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for salvation. And I pray, Lord, if there's somebody here today, they don't understand why we get excited about it. They don't understand what the big deal is because, Lord, they've never experienced it. God, I pray You'd speak to that heart this morning, Lord, and they'd come to know that You love them and You died for them and You want to save their soul. And, Lord, if there's some that are trapped by the errors of the counterfeits of the devil, I pray You'd open their blinded eyes and help them, Lord, to see the glorious gospel and their need of Christ. Lord, those of us that are saved, Lord, help us to appreciate it more and share it more with those around us. Do Your work in our hearts. Help us to obey You this morning. And I ask it in Jesus' name this morning. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed. The music plays. You might need to come this morning some way, somehow, and respond to the message that God's given us here today. How about you this morning? Are you confident? You know it. No doubt about it. You've been saved. You're walking with the Lord. Heaven is your home. If you're not sure about it, we want to help you with that today. Let the Spirit speak to your heart. Draw you to the Savior. Thank God for your salvation. Ask God to lay somebody on your heart that you can share it with. Share your story. Share the gospel. Do like Jesus did. Just get right to the point. Let them know they need to be born again and tell them how to do it. May God use us this year to do more of that. Amen, amen. You can look this way. Thank you for being here today and listening so well to the message. I tell you, the wonderful gospel right there in that one verse of the Bible. Amen, I like that. And God summed it up and made it real simple for us. Amen. And let the Holy Spirit do that work in your heart and you respond by faith and God will save your soul. It's available to everybody. Amen. All right, let's do remember, if you need to do your work on the directory, be sure and do that even before you leave here today. And check it off, correct it, do the whole new sheet, however you need to do it. Offering envelopes, get those as well. And pick up one of those Sword of the Lords. I gave us some extras this time, so you can pick one of those up and maybe there'll be something in there that'll help you as well in your spiritual walk with the Lord. Amen. Keep praying for everybody going through trouble and trial. We thank God the storm was really nothing for us, but there are others west of us that are dealing with snow. Further west, they're still dealing with flood, and even further, dealing with fire. And let's pray for all these areas and all these needs and all these people. Let's pray that folks will look up to the Lord and find Him through it all. Amen. But also pray God to have mercy and give help to all. He knows every case. Amen. And let's pray for these folks as well. And then those right here in our midst that have been sick. And I pray for folks to get better and get well. Amen. And get going again. All right, I'm glad you're here today. We'll be back tonight for this evening service, and hopefully you can come be with us at 6 o'clock for that. And Brother Allen, would you dismiss us in prayer today, please?